10, 15.
Back upfield to the 35, to the 40, 45, 50.
Pass the 50.
35, 40.
Pass the 30.
To the 20.
Inside the 20.
You got to be kidding me.
To the 10.
Whoa! He scores!
He's all the way home.
The no flags!
Oh, my God. Holy moly.
They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
One of the greatest upsets in sports history.
Hello again, everyone. This is the Old College Try. This is your host, Tim Hyland, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Mike Unger. Mike, how's life?
Life is pretty good. You know, you could complain, but what would be the point? There's a lot happening in the world around us. And by that, I do mean the world, but not just the world of college football, the entire world. but it's good. You know, we're trudging along. How are you doing?
I would say I'm trudging along as well, Mike. Very apt description.
Trudging is a great word.
I would love to know the origins of trudge. Where'd that come
from? I wonder if it's some poor sap named Trudge who, like, you know, couldn't outrun somebody and was killed in a war or something.
It's possible. Yeah, so there's a lot going on in the world, obviously. We're not going there, huh, Mike? We're not going to wait.
No.
We're going to avoid that. So we're here. We're doing a somewhat of an emergency podcast based on what happened, of course, on Sunday. We were recording this on a Thursday after what I thought, it marked a change in the way that college football is going to be managed going forward.
An inflection point, possibly.
Thank you, Mike, as a writer. Thank you for, like, that's what I was looking for. we'll just get right to it, of course. And we'll work back from here. Florida State as a 13-0 Power Five champion being left out of the playoff. To me, the only word for it is the same word that Booger McFarland used on the broadcast on Sunday. I think it's a travesty. And I think it goes against everything that sports is about. I think this is so damaging to the integrity of the sport going forward. And again,
does this sport have integrity? College football?
We've discussed integrity a lot this year in a lot of different ways, and I feel like there's a real lack of integrity across the board right now, Mike.
So Michigan has a lot of integrity, don't they? Right? They're made the playoff with a ton of integrity.
So let's start here, and then we'll go down the whole rankings. I just want to know, like, I know what my reaction was when I saw Alabama come on that screen. I was watching it live, and part of me was thinking, like, I was torn. I was like, there's no way they're leaving out a 13-0 Florida State team.
You weren't surprised. Okay. You were surprised. I was not surprised.
I was surprised and not surprised. But when I saw it happen, I must admit, I did gasp. I was like, oh my God, they did this. What was your reaction?
So I wasn't surprised at all. I had a feeling they were going to do it. But good point about gasping. Like if you had seen Florida State come up in that number four, you wouldn't have gasped. You know, you would have been like, okay, it's an undefeated Power Five. Maybe I'm a little surprised that they left Bam out, but you just knew they were gonna find a way to get the SEC champion Alabama Crimson Tide in the playoffs. You just knew, and it was convenient they were waiting for their excuse, and Jordan Travis's injury was the excuse. So I was not surprised. I do think that this is the death blow for Florida State, for the ACC.
Yeah.
And the ACC was hanging on by a thread to begin with. I mean, I think we all know it's inevitable at this point. We're going to two conferences, essentially, a super league. But this, I mean, can you imagine how pissed Florida State is? They tried desperately to get out of the ACC before the season, and this is how the season ends. But from a competitive standpoint and an integrity standpoint, I would agree with both you and Booger. I mean, I think it's a travesty. And look, they had a common opponent LSU, and they both beat LSU by a similar score. 7 days earlier, Alabama needed a miracle on fourth and goal from the 31 to beat Auburn team. And did you hear one person bring that? Did you hear one person bring that up? And Florida State won all their games. So it's college football. Those 13 people in the room were going to do whatever they wanted to do, regardless of the results.
I mean, I don't even know. I have so many thoughts in my head. So I'm trying to figure out how to do this as best way possible. Let's back up before, because I will unload here. Let's do this. Let's run down the final college football playoff rankings, Mike, from 25-1. And that'll set us
up. Okay. I've forgotten about numbers 6 through 25.
So 25 K-State, 24 SMU, 23 Liberty. It's a whole story there. I'll get there in a second. 22 Clemson, 21 Tennessee.
So we had a podcast prior to Rivalry Week, right? That was our last episode.
Yeah.
Let me just jump in real quick. That Saturday, Rivalry Week, was one of the best days of college football start to finish that I've ever witnessed.
Unbelievable.
We saw the final Michigan-Ohio State game in its current structure. They will play again. They will play big games. They will never play a game ever again where it's the last game of the season. They're both undefeated. Only one's going to go to the playoff. Only one's going to win the Big Ten because there's too many structures are changing. That was a spectacular football game from start to finish. I watched it over at my brother-in-law's with my cousins. People of ages 7 to 80 were glued to that, most of whom don't care at all about college football, were glued to the TV from the first play to the last. So I just want to – and what sparked that was Kansas State played a snow game that night, I believe, against Iowa State. That was such a fun game to watch, that Kansas State-Iowa State game in the snow. And that was just one of the many, many, many great games on that week. So tip of my cap to Kansas State. Another game that day was South Carolina and Clemson. That was one of the ugliest, most boring football games I've ever watched in my life. No offense to anybody who's listening who's a Clemson fan. Their defense is legit, but that was just that was a tough game to watch.
20 Okie State, 20 or 19 Oregon State, 18 NC State, 17 Iowa, 16 Notre Dame.
Iowa is really a fascinating team,
aren't they?
You know, 10 and I think they finished 10-3, right? With probably the worst offense in all of college football. So that's wild. But I still tip my cap to Iowa.
So I saw someone wrote, I don't know who it was. It was so true. It's like this Iowa team is either the best bad team of all time or the worst good team of all time.
That's a very, very well put. Very well put.
Also,
I know the answer.
Am I correct, by the way? Was the over under for the first half for Iowa in the Big Ten title game 0.5 points, Mike? Did I hear that?
It was. It was 0.5 in each half for Iowa, and the under cashed. The overall team total was 6.5, which I still don't understand how that works exactly. It was under, and Iowa had, I believe, the four lowest over unders in college football history, or maybe it was the 2000s. I'm not sure which one, and they went under in all of them. You could not make an over-under low enough for Iowa.
What a stain on the sport the Big Ten West is, Mike.
Well, RIP Big Ten West, because it's no longer after this season. But I wonder what it would be like to be an Iowa fan. I mean, are you happy after the wins?
I guess you would. I've seen them on social media wearing their like punch. They love their punch shirts. Like, I guess you embrace, like, at some point you have to be like, look, we are a terrible offensive football team. Like, we're awful. We're also 10-3. So
I bet you would take pride if you were on that defense. You know, hey, look, they cannot score a point tonight or we're going to lose. That's kind of freeing. We were talking about freeing before the podcast. It's kind of freeing, I think it kind of feels like.
And Phil Parker won the Broyles Award as the best assistant in the country. Mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Anyway, where was I at?
You're at 15 to 10 now.
15 Louisville. Four. By the way, how much Louisville did you watch this year, Mike?
That's a great question. They were like the Oklahoma State of this year. Maybe a play or two. I watched a little, again, of their game against Kentucky. I was clicking around to it on Rivalry Weekend because I had a little bit of a vested interest in the Wildcats. And so not a lot, but I did see a little of that game. I think they call that the common, is that, what is that? The common Governor's Cup. Governor's Cup.
14 Arizona, 13 LSU, 12 Oklahoma, 11 Ole Miss.
Interesting grouping of teams there with like Oklahoma, Ole Miss. You look at them on paper and you're like, oh, they had good seasons, but did they? You know, Ole Miss is a team. They beat everyone they should have, and they lost to everyone that they shouldn't have. I guess they had a nice win over LSU, but now the Nits have them in the bowl game, which we'll get to later. But it was a good bounce back season for Oklahoma.
10 Penn State, 9 Missouri, 8 Oregon, 7 Ohio State, 6 Georgia. Two things here. What you just mentioned about Ole Miss, they had the same season as Penn State. Penn State didn't beat anyone they couldn't beat. They beat everyone else they could beat. My God. And hey, no offense to the Ohio State fans out there, Mike, it's like the end of the world in Columbus.
Yeah. I just want to remark real quickly. Another outstanding game was the Pac-12 championship on Friday night.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the best of all the championship games in the past weekend. That was awesome. What a way for the Pac-12 to go out.
So again, 6 Georgia, 5 Florida State. My God. 4 Alabama.
Oh, wait.
What's that?
Sorry, go ahead. I just want to make a cut. Georgia as the 6th best team in the nation is hilarious.
I'll get there in a second.
Okay.
5 Florida State, 4 Bama, 3 Texas, 2 Washington, 1 Michigan. So I'll say this. I think you and I both agree. I think you can make a real solid case for Washington at 1 and Michigan at 2, but I don't mind Michigan 1, Washington 2. It's kind of it doesn't matter. Okay.
Yeah.
Texas to me was obvious at 3. To your point,
I would agree.
Just to your point just now. Oh, I don't know where to start. The week before these rankings came out, Florida State was 4, Alabama was 8, and Georgia was 1. Florida State didn't have their quarterback last week either. They won their conference championship game. They dropped them to 5 based on the logic that they didn't have their quarterback. Well, if they didn't have their quarterback last week, why weren't they 5 last week? Additionally, if you're saying that Bama, in your mind, is better, quote unquote, than the current Florida State team, have some integrity. Have the balls to put Georgia above Florida State too. Do you believe, committee, that Georgia is lesser than Florida State? No, you don't. That's a PR move to put Florida State at 5. Am I wrong here, Mike?
I completely agree with that. And the problem with the committee and with is this phrase, this idea of the best teams versus the most deserving teams. The most deserving teams are the teams that did it on the field. That's why you play the games. If you're just going by who you think is the best team, why are they even playing games?
And this is the fundamental issue.
Just go by the recruiting rankings and just go. If you're going by the best teams, it should have been Michigan, Alabama, Georgia, and I don't know, Ohio State.
No, I disagree. And this is what another thing that bothers me. This whole argument for Bama over Florida State is built on this assumption that this extremely flawed Alabama team, who barely beat a terrible Auburn team, who got steamrolled by Texas, who barely beat South Florida. This is the worst Bama team of like the good Bama era under Saban. Why? The committee is assuming they are better than a 13-0 Florida State team who, without their starting quarterback, has found a way to keep on winning. This, you're leaping to an assumption that's like
built of course
fantasy.
Of course, that's what it is. It's a fantasy. If you're just trying to think, say who you think is the best team with no data or no facts or results to bring to, of course it's a fantasy. They're going by the fact that Alabama has been good for 15 years under Saban. The fact that Alabama's in the SEC. The fact that Alabama has more five-star recruits than Florida State. I agree with you in that it's a total fantasy. But also, I mean, if Georgia played Alabama again, they lost by what, three? Georgia would be favored. Georgia would be favored against any of the rest of these three teams.
Yes. Yes.
So why not just, I mean, it's preposterous to do it by that method, by the who you think are the best teams, which is the Kirk Herbstreit kind of mantra, which I disagree with. I like Kirk, but I disagree with that. You have to go by the results on the field. It's an imperfect system. We all understand that. There are only four slots. Next year, we won't have to deal with it. But I would have most certainly put Florida State in over Alabama.
Okay.
And I think if you put Alabama in, I would have found a way to put Georgia in. I mean, there were people. I'm a little surprised. Now, Texas is a brand name. But what if Texas was left out and Bama was put in? I mean, I could see that scenario where that happened.
Look, once you get into the business of like, well, I think this team is better. And this
right,
team.
Exactly. Exactly. By data and results.
Again, you could put Ohio State in top four. You could. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Put that in top four. And I will say, besides the committee, I think is just like, just a joke beyond all jokes. I must say, on that ESPN set, there's people on that set. I've always liked Joey Galloway. I've always liked Reese Davis. I've always liked Kirk Herbstreit. And I've never really liked Booger that much. I think he's kind of annoying. But to me, he was the only one speaking sense, and their smugness towards him and they're smirking at him when he's making his case. Like, we know better than you, Booger, because we know Bama is better than Florida State. It was so off-putting. I was most disappointed in Reese Davis. I thought his
career
was just like condescending. I know it all. Like, give me a break, man. And like, he lectured Booger about like, and Joey Galloway lectured Booger, like, don't say we wanted outcomes. Like, that's unfair to us. It feeds a narrative. But it's like, Booger was making the point, and this is the thing. It's like, football teams are not down to any one player. Of course, Florida State's missing their quarterback. I get it. They're a football team. And they're a better team than Alabama. This is, again, if this was a vintage Bama team, it'd be one thing. They're not. They're not. And to just discount what Florida State, I can't, the video of Florida State finding out they weren't in, it goes against everything sports is about.
Yeah.
I have friends up here in the Northeast, of course, who are like, college football to them is like a foreign land, a foreign language, right?
Yeah.
Having to explain to them why Florida State at 13 was left out, it's like they thought I was a crazy person.
Yeah. It is hard. It's hard to defend college football when stuff like this happens. I mean, it's almost enough to make you happy that we're going to 12 teams next year. But you know what I found myself thinking during not championship weekend, but the weekend before Thanksgiving Saturday. Michigan, Ohio State, not as important a game as it would have been. You know, there were so many games that the Alabama-Georgia game, the SEC championship game, they both would have been in, right? Michigan, Ohio State, they both would have been in. The Pac-12 title game, Oregon, Washington, they both would have been in. So, you know, you're going to gain one thing in that probably the best team will not be out. There'll be squabbling and debate about who should be 11 and 12, of course, but that's probably not going to be your national champion. But it just is ridiculous to say, as 13 committee members, I think this team is better, so yeah, they're in. It just is. You're absolutely right. It goes against everything sport is all about. Tim, we work in universities. How many committees have you been on? Millions.
I'm on so many right now, Mike.
They're all disasters. I mean, it's you put a bunch of people in a room who have really nothing to do, you know, nothing in common, and they are coming from different perspectives and different places. And for them to arrive, I mean, maybe we should go back to a computer formula to pick the teams.
Look, when I play,
now that we have AI, so people used to you know, really bitch about the BCS. How can we let computers? There's no eye test. Well, now there's AI. We've come a long way. Maybe we should use AI to pick the 12 teams.
By the way, Google released their Gemini AI today. Mike, you excited?
Is that going to move up? Is it now gone from like 15 to 10 years that AI will take my job?
I think no. It's probably closer to one or two. Probably, I'm guessing at this.
Oh man, if I could just get a buyout. Like a Jimbo Fisher or Tom Allen buyout. By the way, Tom Allen, a $20 million buyout. That's outstanding. I tip my cap to Tom Allen. Did a great job at Indiana. Things kind of fell apart there at the end. But we had some great seasons under him. He was a guy who loved Indiana. He had good enthusiasm, and I wish him nothing but the best in the future.
And how do you feel as an IU fan for Michael Penix? What a player, man.
I love him. I'm such a Penix fan. I'll be pulling for Washington. I had some people over on Friday for the Maryland-Indiana basketball game, and lots of people saw that I have my Michael Penix reaching for the two-point conversion to beat Penn State in 2020 photo framed in my basement. And they were like, is that the same guy we're watching right now? Or, you know, who was in the Pac-12 championship game? It was great. I love Penix. His touch on his deep balls is unbelievable. His accuracy is incredible. He outplayed Bo Nix.
If I had my choice, I would give him the Heisman. I think I understand that Kill to LSU had an amazing year too, but
I'd probably give it to Daniels. Just his stats were so mind blowing.
Anyway, so any last thoughts on this ridiculous playoff situation, Mike?
Yeah, I have one last thought. I completely and utterly agree with you that. Florida State should have been in and Alabama should have been out. That being said, I have bet on Alabama to win it all plus 220.
But last I saw, was Michigan, is Michigan favored?
Yeah, they're favored by a point and a half.
Huh.
I'm taking Bama in that too.
So what do you think about the Washington-Texas game?
So that's going to be a fascinating game. Texas is favored by 4.5.
4.5?
I watched Texas. Yeah, Washington is favored. Or I'm sorry, pardon me. Texas is favored by 4.5.
Okay.
Texas by 4.5. I watched almost the entire Big 12 championship game. Texas just dismantled Oklahoma State. Now, Oklahoma State had really slumped since beating Oklahoma. That was winning that last bedlam was kind of the end of their season. But Texas looks good. They have dudes in the interior. Their quarterback is looking great. They lost their good running back, but they have weapons on offense. It's going to be outstanding, but this Washington team has just persisted and won all season long. So it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great, great game. I'd probably take a Washington plus the 4.5 at this point.
Again, as bitter as damaging as I think this decision was for college football going forward, I have to admit, it's going to be a good playoff, Mike.
Yeah, it is. It always is. January 1st, too. The Rose Bowl is the first game. Alabama and Michigan in the Rose Bowl. I will be taking the second off work. I can tell you that.
I don't even know. Has Bama in the modern era been out to the Rose Bowl for?
I don't. Off the top of my head, I would say no. I would say Bama has probably never been to the Rose Bowl.
Imagine those Bama fans in L.A., Mike.
Oh my God, it's going to be wild. And also, but Michigan going to the Rose Bowl, their fans know what to do. That's their season Rose Bowl attenders.
Yeah, so it'll be great. All right. Anyway, Mike, real quickly, we touched on it last time. Transfer portal is it's a shit show, Mike. It's the best.
Real quick, Alabama is 5-1-1 in the Rose Bowl, their first appearance in the Rose Bowl. Was in 1926 against Washington.
What was their last appearance in the Rose Bowl?
I don't know. I'm just gonna need some more time to do that research.
Anyway, while you do that, I will say, much happening in the transfer portal, most notably for me. You know, Ohio State, they didn't win the Big Ten title game. It's Michigan game. It's the end of all creation for Ohio State fans. And last I saw, Ohio State had more players in the portal than anyone in the top 20, including their quarterback. I do wonder what's going on there at Ohio State, Mike. Is this Ryan Day cleaning house, or is this players being like, I want out?
Oh, yeah. So this is my original thought was then confirmed by Rick Neuheisel. Not confirmed, but it's his thought as well. And I had it, and I heard him say it on the radio. This is Ryan Day going to McCord and saying, we're going to find someone better than you. You should enter the portal.
Yeah.
And I think some of it has to be kind of politics, right? Because those Ohio State fans want Ryan Day's head on a stick. And he's got to, he can't fire, he could fire a coordinator, but he needed to show the fans that something is changing. And so I think that was kind of Ohio State going to the quarterback and saying, thank you, it's time for you to move on.
I'm just curious what they look like in the bowl game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like who's there, who's not there, who's playing quarterback in the bowl game? I did see, by the way, speaking of the transfer portal and NIL, the rest of it. So there's some reports, God knows how legit it is, that Marvin Harrison Jr., who would be a guaranteed probably top 10 pick in the NFL draft. There's reports, Mike, that he's getting such lucrative NIL offers
mm-hmm.
that he might stay because they're equal to what he can make in his rookie contract in the NFL.
So that's interesting, but the problem with that thinking is then he's going to be a year later to get his second contract. And your second contract is not, there's no guarantee he's going to be a superstar in the NFL. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And or there's no guarantee that you're going to play for the entirety of your second contract. So I've heard it and I've read a little bit about that, which is interesting. As are Matt Rhule's comments. Did you hear his comments about how the going rate for a starting quarterback is between 1 to 2 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said you can't get a D1 winning quarterback without boning up 1 to 2 million, which is interesting. Real quick, Tim, Alabama's history, and then we'll go back to the portal. Alabama's history in the Rose Bowl, the first one in 1926. Apparently, that was called the game that changed the South. It was a 2019 win for Alabama over the Washington Huskies. And then the last time they were in the Rose Bowl, they were in there several times in the 30s. The last time, well, the 2010 BCS National Championship game was in the Rose Bowl, wasn't called the Rose Bowl. And then the 2021 Rose Bowl was held in Arlington, which I can't remember. Why did that? Oh, because of COVID. So the last time they actually played in Pasadena in the Rose Bowl was 1946.
Wow.
Fascinating history there.
They're like those Bama, they're going to flock there, right? They have to.
Oh my God! Why wouldn't you? I mean, that is a bucket list thing to do is go to the Rose Bowl. I mean, it's on our bucket list, right?
100%. Might be next year, Mike. Maybe.
Never know.
Anyway, so portal is just it's an absolute mess. It's fascinating to me how this is all unfolds. Mike, I work in the world of development now. It's a lovely mm-hmm. world. I keep telling you, and I still believe this. There's not going to be an endless spigot of money in this NIL stuff. Donors don't give to things that are like not returning on investment. At some point, they're going to be like, am I really going to give $1 million to get a quarterback who may or may not work out or might leave next year for the portal for somewhere else? I don't buy into the long-term viability of this thing. I just don't. I don't.
I'm not sure, but I think that once money has made its way into the game, we're not going to get into this on this podcast, but did you see Charlie Baker's proposal to basically create a new division in which the players are paid?
Like what they got, like fascinating. 30 grand a year.
It's too much to get. Yeah. It's too much to get into right now, but I don't know. I think once the money is in the game, it's like impossible to get it out.
Yeah. Anyway, on to happier topics. Ready? How about this? we don't need to preview the game. I don't think you and I have watched a lot of Army or Navy football this year. This is my annual advertisement for this game. I've been there a couple times. It is the most unbelievable spectacle. I do think, Mike, it's being played in Boston this year, or whatever. Not Boston, what's Foxborough, which is depressing.
Foxborough, much different than Boston. It's about 30 minutes to 30 miles outside of Boston.
In my mind, it should be either in Baltimore or Philly every single year. That's where I'm
at. No doubt about it. I would even allow for New York, even though their stadium is across the way, and Jersey is close enough. But Foxborough, no. Washington, D.C., no, again, because their stadium is in the middle of nowhere in Maryland.
I forget, Mike, have you been to this game?
Mm-hmm. I went to it when it was played in Baltimore. I saw Kirk Reese and Lee Corso and the Navy GOAT down doing game day at the Inner Harbor. It was a beautiful day in December. I don't know how it happened, global warming maybe, but it was just a gorgeous day. Awesome game. Loved it. But one of the best parts is the game ends in like 2.5 hours because there's no passing. The clock is just always running, which I loved. It's worth going. It's, again, I just said bucket list. It's a bucket list thing. And it's coming back to Baltimore. Obviously, played in Philly, you know, many, many times. But it's coming back to Baltimore, I think, in 3 years, 2-3 years. So I'm going to go to that, too.
I mean, my experience going to these games is like the passion of the fans is so – it's deep. And, like, there's an extra edge to it with the military thing. It's like – like Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, Auburn, there's a real, like, use the word hatred in a sporting sense there. This is different. It's like
mutual. This is mutual respect.
And also combined with a little bit of hatred. Like, they really do want to beat the shit out of each other. But, like, and then the pregame buildup with the flyovers and the
parachuting into the stadium. Yeah. And then the singing of the, you know, after the game where each team salutes their midshipmen and their cadets who are in the stands. It's fantastic. It's an unbelievable experience. I watch it every year. I bet on Navy every year. Navy, Army's favored this year by 2.5, over under of 28.5, which is extremely low. Both teams 5-6. You know, so it's been an interesting year for Navy. I've watched them a little bit here and there. I've not really seen Army. I know that they had to play LSU, which is a tough ask. So that's one of their 6 losses. But I'll take Navy in the points, and I will certainly be watching.
100%. All right, let's do the bowl preview, Mike. Let's do this. Ready?
I'm ready. There's some great bowls this year.
There's a lot. So I'm going to do as fast as I can here. Okay, let's start. So today
I'll give you the spread and a tidbit on each one.
Today's December 7th. The first bowl games are only 9 days away on December 16th. We will start with the Myrtle Beach Bowl, Georgia Southern versus Ohio, 11 a.m. kick, Mike.
11 a.m. kick. I absolutely love an 11 a.m. kick. Georgia State is favored by 3.5, and that's because Ohio's quarterback is not playing. He's entering the transfer portal. I can't remember his name right now, but he's the word on him is that he is like a mid-level Power 5 starter quality in terms of talent. So he could be looking at IU. I wouldn't be surprised on that one. The Myrtle Beach Bowl, they should play that actually on the beach.
They should. Like, what's the harm, right? Like,
yeah, that'd be great.
The RNL Carriers New Orleans Bowl, Jacksonville State versus Louisiana, 2:15 ESPN.
What a great bowl. If you're like one of these low tier D1 teams and you're going to like one of the worst bowls, New Orleans, how great would that be? Rich Rodriguez takes his Jacksonville State team into New Orleans to play Lafayette, and Rich Rod and Jacksonville State favored by 3.5.
The Avocados from Mexico Cure Bowl. Miami of Ohio.
Great name. And I have no idea where this game is. I'm going to look that up.
It's the Avocados from Mexico Cure Bowl, Miami versus Appy State. It's in Orlando, Mike.
Oh, Orlando. Okay. Appy State, 6.5 point favorites after visiting beautiful Boone, North Carolina in June. I'm a huge fan of Appy State. Love their campus. Love their town. Gorgeous place. I love their football program too. I'm taking Appy State.
The Iselta New Mexico Bowl, New Mexico State versus Fresno State, 5:45.
Can you imagine how disappointing it is if you're New Mexico State and they tell you you're going to play in the New Mexico Bowl? You pull out, probably waiting your whole life to get out of New Mexico. I have absolutely no idea what Iselta is. But New Mexico State got the 10 wins, including beating Auburn on the plains.
Yeah, so like it just, yeah, take your win there, New Mexico State. The Starco Brands.
Exactly. Sorry. New Mexico State favored by 3.5 over Fresno State.
Like, speaking of staying at home, the Starco Brands LA Bowl, UCLA versus Boise State.
Yeah, you can't be excited if you're UCLA to be in this game either. They're favored by 2.5 over Boise State, who just fired their coach, then went on to win the Mountain West, and then extended the interim coach, took the interim tag off their interim coach. So 9 times out of 10, that's a mistake.
This is depressing. The Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl, Cal versus Texas Tech.
This the Independence Bowl is a bowl that's been around forever since our childhood. It's in Shreveport, Louisiana. I remember Maryland being in it. They played a great game against Louisiana Tech. I remember Indiana being in this bowl game in the early 90s. So this bowl game at least has a little history. Cal, I watched dismantle UCLA late night about either 2 or 3 weeks ago. So I'm on their bandwagon, and I'll take Cal plus the 2.5 against Texas Tech.
And by the way, this is not surprising anyway. So there was just 6 games we ran down there, or 5 games, 6 games. The cheapest available tickets for any of these games is for the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl. Tickets as low as $14, Mike.
No, that's about $12 more than I would have guessed.
Monday, December 8th. So now we get into the weekday games where it's like, you know, at work, Mike, we're kind of like trailing away from like actually doing work. You can like kind of chill out, watch sports during the day. We are Monday, the 18th, Western Kentucky versus Old Dominion in the famous Toastery Bowl in Charlotte, North Carolina, 2:30 p.m.
So the ODU favored by 2.5 over Western Kentucky in this one. Famous Toastery, what do you think that is?
Sounds like they make toast. I don't know.
I'm going to Google that.
Next up, Tuesday, the 19th, University of Texas at San Antonio versus Marshall, 9 p.m. in the Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl in Frisco, Texas.
So Scooter, you know, we have a friend named Scotto, who I would call him a noted listener, but I'm quite sure he doesn't listen. But it's great that there's a bowl named Scooters. By the way, Famous Toastery is a restaurant franchise whose motto is breakfast, brunch, lunch, all at once. The Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl, 9 p.m., Marshall and UTSA. UTSA favored by 9.5 over Marshall.
This next one, this is perfect. So we all know, Mike, I don't want to wade into politics here, but we have some climate issues, okay? And particularly people in Florida are encountering some issues with insurance, right? We all know this. Mike, you know this?
I do know it.
How about this one? Thursday the 21st, the roofclaim.com Boca Raton Bowl. South Florida versus Syracuse in Boca Raton. The roofclaim.com Boca Raton Bowl. Wow.
I would love it if, like, between the third and fourth quarter, they bring a fan out and then be like, hey, if you hit this 25-yard field goal, when a hurricane rips your house to shreds, we'll actually pay your claim. We'll, instead of finding some loophole to deny it, we'll actually pay your claim. That would be a great little in between quarter promo. USF, everybody knows them for holding Alabama to a 17-3 win in that game in September. Syracuse fired Dino Babers. That's a shame. I kind of like Dino, and they hired a an assistant from Georgia to be their new head coach. The Orange still 3.5-point favorites in the roofclaim.com Boca Raton Bowl.
Tickets as low as $33, by the way. So, Friday the 22nd, Georgia Tech versus UCF in the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl, 6:30 at Raymond.
Now, is that in the Bucs Stadium in Tampa, or is that the Devil Ray or the Rays baseball stadium, the Dome in St. Pete? Do you know?
It's the Bucs Stadium.
Okay. Noted listener Brent may attend the Gasparilla Bowl. It's always been a dream of his to attend the Gasparilla Bowl. He's a noted listener for the show, and I would love to hear if he makes it there. UCF 4.5-point favorites against a spry Georgia Tech team. Had some good wins this year. Played Georgia, the best that I've seen them play Georgia in probably 15 years. I'm taking the Tech and the points.
Saturday the 23rd, Troy versus Duke in the Birmingham Bowl, noon kickoff, Mike.
So is your boy Manny Diaz going to be coaching the Blue Devils in that game?
Apparently, right before we started this podcast, it was apparently confirmed that Manny Diaz is the new coach at Duke, yes.
It's going to be a loss for your defense. Penn State had a very good, say what you will about them, they had a good defense this year.
Yeah.
Troy, 7.5-point favorites, of course, Riley Leonard in the transfer portal, rumored to be going to Notre Dame next year.
I love this, Mike. This next bowl has no sponsor, apparently. It's Arkansas State versus Northern Illinois. It's played in Montgomery, Alabama. It's just called the Camellia Bowl.
Maybe Camellia is a company we don't know anything about.
Maybe.
Arkansas State, 1.5-point favorites over Northern Illinois. And I said I was going to have a little tidbit for each game. I have no tidbit for this one.
Next up, James Madison versus Air Force, 3:30 in the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Is there a more fitting sponsor for a bowl than Lockheed Martin
Armed Forces? No, that Lockheed Martin is a great sponsor for a bowl. And where is that one played, did you say?
This is in Fort Worth.
Awesome. And so James Madison, what a season they had. Of course, they lost the one ball game. They get into a bowl because there's not enough six-win teams to fill all the slots, so they get a waiver. They were not supposed to be in there. Kurt Cignetti, Tim, Indiana University's new head coach. There's questions as to whether he'll coach the Dukes in the bowl game. I couldn't care less either way. I'm sure he's working hard for his new job. 13 years as a head coach at various levels, 13 winning seasons. He has to be the only coach who has ever coached at both Indiana University, assuming that he makes it there, and Indiana University of Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Incredible. next up.
Head coach at IUP from 2011 to 2016. And it's interesting. No, pretty much no one knows that there's an Indiana University of Pennsylvania college, except people right around here in kind of Baltimore and like Northern Maryland, because it's not that far from here. So I would often say, like, oh, I go to Indiana, and people would say IUP. And we're not talking IUPUI. That's Indiana University, Purdue University in Indianapolis.
Yes.
Indiana. So he's coached head coach at Indiana University of Pennsylvania, Elon and James Madison, 13 seasons, 13 winning seasons. He was an assistant. The wide receiver coach at Alabama with Nick Saban for 2007 to 2010. Saban released a statement just raving about him, and I'm excited. I think it was a great hire for the Hoosiers.
The famous Idaho Potato Bowl, maybe the best named bowl in the world. Georgia State.
Yeah, great name.
Utah State, 3:30 in Boise.
Yeah, down the blue turf. Utah State, a 1.5-point favorite over Georgia State. You got to like Utah State, like Georgia State. Do you think any of their guys have ever been to Idaho, ever thought they'd be in Idaho? It's going to be rough weather. Seems like the Aggies of Utah State are more apt to handle it.
And we experienced the Utah State fans. They're intense, huh, Mike?
Yeah, we sat in the Utah State section when we saw them play BYU and Provo. They were great. They had a lot of chants.
Songs, chants. Ice cream, whatever. The 68
religious hymns, Bowl. Whatever religious hymns, whatever you want to call it.
68 Ventures Bowl, South Alabama versus Eastern Michigan in Mobile, Alabama. tickets surprisingly going for as low as just $24. I'm like, I would have thought like less than that, right?
Yeah, I think that's high. South Alabama, a 15.5-point favorite over Eastern Michigan. South Alabama, of course, beat Oklahoma State this year. They are coached by Indiana's former defensive coordinator, who's a candidate to be IU's new head coach. So I'm a South Alabama Jaguar fan.
Here's a team that last year was in the Rose Bowl. What a deep drop for them. How about the SRS Distribution Las Vegas Bowl? The Utah Utes, our beloved Utes, Mike, playing Northwestern in this bowl.
Interesting.
Game.
SRS Distribution, it seems like that's some kind of designer drug we don't know anything about because we're too old. But it seems perfect that they're sponsoring the bowl in Vegas. Utah, interesting year. Cam Rising just never came back. And his return was always hanging over Utah all season long. But I heard that he's considering coming back next year, which would make them, you know, a contender in the Big 12, I guess that's where they'll be. And what a year for Northwestern. They also removed the interim tag from their coach. He's now their full-time coach. They got some wins, but I have a feeling that's going to be a case study of yet another reason you shouldn't just go with the interim coach if he has a couple good wins. I think that was a mistake.
The easy post, Hawaii Bowl, Coastal Carolina versus San Jose State, of course, in Honolulu. 10:30 kick. Love that late kick, Mike. Late kick.
Oh, love the late kick. The Hawaii Bowl used to be the only bowl on Christmas Day, though. Christmas yeah. night. I used to love it when it was on Christmas night. Saturday, December 23rd, I'll still take it. San Jose State, big favorites, 9.5 over Coastal Carolina. What a score for these two teams to be able to go play some crap-ass bowl in Hawaii, though.
Tuesday the 26th, we got some, how about this, in the Quick Lane Bowl, and of course Detroit, you got Bowling yeah. Green versus Minnesota. What a perfect matchup for the Quick Lane Bowl in Detroit. Bowling Green.
It is. That is absolutely perfect. And of course, Minnesota at 5-7, they got in because they have a good grade point average on their team. 2 o'clock on a Tuesday in Detroit. This is the bowl game I dream of IU making one day. I would go in an absolute heartbeat. Tim, can you look up real quick what the cheapest ticket to that game is? That's got to be in the single digits.
No, it's $21.
We're too far away from kickoff. These things are going to go way down.
Next up, Texas State versus Rice in the Serve Pro First Responder Bowl, 5:30. Tickets as low as $16, Mike.
Texas State, 4.5-point favorite over Rice. Rice will be without JT Daniels. He played for four schools during his college career. He retired, which I tip my cap to him. He said he had too many concussions. He's going right into coaching. Fascinating college career for JT Daniels.
Kansas versus UNLV in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl in Phoenix, Arizona, 9 p.m. kick.
Kansas, big favorites, 11.5-point favorites over UNLV. Are you a little surprised that Lance Leopold did not bounce during this year's coaching carousel?
I was. I'm grateful that Penn State hired his OC. Seems like a great pick.
Yeah.
But I think Lance is the kind of guy, he wants to build something. I think he does.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with you. He's going to get more satisfaction out of winning at Kansas than jumping somewhere else.
And also, if there was an obvious better option for him, he would have gone. But there wasn't an obvious better option, I don't think. Right.
Yeah, I mean, Texas A&M maybe would have been the best, but do you want those headaches? I mean,
no, that's the worst job in the country. It's the worst. All right, Wednesday the 27th, as we continue, the Military Bowl presented by GoBowling.com. Tulane versus Va Tech in Annapolis, Maryland. Mike, you can go to this game. It's in Annapolis.
I could. In theory, I could go to this game. I've never been to the Military Bowl. Maybe one year I will go. Va Tech, 7.5-point favorites against Tulane. I wonder, is the quarterback for Tulane not playing or something? Pratt, I believe, is his name. He was great, but we'll see. Yeah, and GoBowling.com, is that a website that advocates for, like, the sport of bowling?
I hope so, and if so, I'm still watching this game. I might go myself. That's a worthy cause.
It's a short drive, short three-hour drive. It is. That is a website that wants you to quite literally go bowling, 10-pin bowling. And there are photos of all kinds of young, attractive people having a great time bowling here. People, I've never seen anyone who looks like any of these people at a bowling alley.
Next up, let's be honest. And Mike, I've never had Duke's Mayo. Have you had Duke's Mayo or no?
I have a jar of Duke's Mayo in my fridge as we speak.
Is it good?
Who knows? Mayo all tastes the same. I only put like a tiny dollop of mayo in my tuna. That's the only reason I have mayo.
So I heard it was like a different taste of mayo. Like there's a spiciness to it or something like that. Or is this all fiction?
I can't speak to that. I've never done a taste test of just mayos. I probably bought it because, I know exactly why I bought it. I was making pimento cheese sandwiches for the Masters. And I found a recipe that didn't just say mayonnaise. It said you had to have Duke's Mayo. So I used it.
Thank you, pimento. I was talking to someone last weekend about our trip down to the South this year for the Auburn game. I was like, oh, it's this biscuit place. And I'm like, you know what? I don't love biscuits, but like they were definitely big in the pimento cheese. And the pimento cheese was a good thing, right?
Pimento cheese is a great thing. What do you mean you don't like biscuits?
I they're just too heavy. I don't know. I just don't like, it's too much. Like if I go to Wawa and I want to get a breakfast sandwich, I don't get the biscuit. I get like the croissant.
Well, that's because you're in Pennsylvania. You should not get the biscuit sandwich at Wawa. But when you're in Alabama or Georgia, you should definitely get the biscuit sandwich. North Carolina, West Virginia, the Mountaineers, Cousin Dave's team, 3.5-point favorites. What a disappointing season for you, for North Carolina.
Yeah.
They look downright feeble with the way North Carolina State handled them at the end of the season. That was pathetic showing by the Heels.
Next up, the DirecTV Holiday Bowl. Holiday Bowl, by the way, we've said many times before, when I was a kid, every year was the most entertaining bowl game. It was so fun. Number 15, Louisville versus USC in San Diego. Mike, what are your thoughts on the Holiday Bowl?
Love the Holiday Bowl. And the Holiday Bowl is the type of bowl that's going to thrive. It's going to continue to exist, and it's going to thrive even when we go to the 12 team playoff, because you know the teams that don't make the 12 team playoff, they're going to have a pretty good bowl game here, like Louisville against Southern Cal. Now Southern Cal is a kind of a different story because they had the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. He's obviously not going to play, but Louisville had a very good season from what we've read. Right, we've barely seen him. They are 7.5-point favorites over USC, which will be Caleb Williams less.
Interesting. The Tax Act Texas Bowl, A&M, what a depressing program, versus Oklahoma State, 9 p.m. kick in Houston. Man, A&M's a mess, man.
Yeah, on a Wednesday, 9 p.m. kick, I just think I won't be watching that game. A&M still somehow a 3-point favorite over the Cowpokes in this one.
How about this, Mike? Thursday the 28th, SMU playing Boston College in the Wasabi Fenway Bowl in Fenway Park.
Fenway Park, Boston College, you couldn't get a better team to go play in Fenway Park than Boston College. And, of course, this is not Wasabi, the delicious Japanese accoutrement to sushi. No. This is, I think, their computer company or something like that. SMU, 10.5-point favorites over your BC Eagles. Wow. Despite, I'm sure BC will have like probably 50 to 75 fans in the stands there for that Fenway Bowl at 11 a.m.
The Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl. I've been there, Mike. I think you have too. Rutgers versus Miami. In the Bronx at 2:15. What a depressing bowl that is.
Not for the one I went to, Indiana Duke. It was an absolutely awesome game that was robbed from the Hoosiers when we hit a field goal that should have either won it or tied it. It went right over the upright, and no one knew whether it was in or not because we don't have lasers. But Bad Boy Mowers is everywhere now. They were sponsoring a college basketball tournament a couple weeks ago, and what an odd name for a brand of lawnmowers. But Miami, 2.5-point favorites over Rutgers. That boy, I just can't see Miami playing well in a freezing cold Yankee Stadium, right? Against Rutgers, taking Rutgers in that one.
Next up, it's the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Number 18, NC State versus number 20, K-State, 5:45 in Orlando. Can I take a step back here, Mike? So again, you know, I've watched college football my entire life. When I was a kid, bowl games were called like things like the Holiday Bowl and the Peach Bowl and the Tangerine Bowl,
the Blue Poinsettia Bowl, the Gator Bowl.
The Gator Bowl, the Blue Bonnet Bowl, the Sun Bowl, sponsored by the Sun. Like, now, look, why is there a Pop-Tarts Bowl? Like, who eats Pop-Tarts? Does anyone eat Pop-Tarts? Like,
probably noted listener Brian Schlater, if I had to guess. I've never seen anyone eat a Pop-Tart. But the reason why is it's replacing the Cheez-It Bowl. And I can tell you who eats Cheez-Its, and that's millions of college football fans. They're delicious. Pop-Tarts Bowl getting a lot of press for their, what is it, their edible mascot, right? It's NC State against Kansas State, the Wildcats, 3.5-point favorites. That's a bizarre one. Like, I do like the ones, like we're going to next, we're going to the Valero Alamo Bowl. At least they kept the Alamo part in and they just tacked the sponsor on before it. It's a little weird just to have the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
But again, if you could have a bowl sponsored by Pop-Tarts or like literally the Sun, the Sun's a better sponsor, right?
You can't get a better sponsor than the Sun.
It's the top tier. Anyway, Alamo Bowl, 14 Arizona versus 12 Oklahoma. Actually a fun game. And I'll say too, Alamo Bowl every year also has got good matchups, right?
Yeah, Alamo Bowl. So I put that in your solid like 3-4 bowls of your middle, your middle tier bowls. They're not going to be in the playoff. Especially next year with 12 teams in the playoff, but the Alamo Bowl is in that solid, you know, five bowls in the middle. I would love to go to the Alamo Bowl. Arizona and Oklahoma, the Wildcats of Arizona favored by 2.5. Of course, Dylan Gabriel in the transfer portal for Oklahoma. You have to have a feeling Arizona is going to be fired up for that game. What a season they had.
Friday the 29th. Now we're getting in deep here, Mike. 22 Clemson versus Kentucky in the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl in Jacksonville. Kind of a ho-hum affair here, Mike.
Yeah, kind of a ho-hum affair. Clemson favored by 7. Clemson has a great defense, especially they've gotten better as the year has gone on. They've been playing outstanding defense, but man, their offense is extremely challenged. So I like the noon kick on a Friday. I like that, I have to say. And the Gator Bowl, again, that's one of your top-tier non-playoff bowls. So congratulations, Clemson fans. You're in a top-tier non-playoff bowl.
Speaking of it, again, back when I was a kid, like the backdrop of this bowl was so perfect. I must say the sponsor, I guess. The Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. Number 19, Oregon State versus number 16, Notre Dame, 2 p.m. in El Paso, Texas. Beautiful stadium and also a fun game here.
What I always remember about the Sun Bowl is that, I don't know what it's on now, but for years and years and years and years, it was on CBS.
It still is. It always is. Yes.
Okay, that's good. Even way back in the day, like before my family had cable, so I'm talking like mid-80s, this was like one of the only bowls. Like I remember watching this bowl. And it was always a fun one to watch, and you'd see that sunset on those mountains, yep. Right over the Sun Bowl in El Paso. So I agree, great bowl game. Oregon State and Notre Dame, the Beavers, with the whole world going against them, they lost their coach, they lost their quarterback. Notre Dame 8.5-point favorites. Interesting, they opened 10.5, and it's down to 8.5. I'm telling you right now, I'm taking the Beavers.
The AutoZone Liberty Bowl, Memphis versus Iowa State, 3:30 in Memphis again. So that's a thriller, huh, Mike?
Yeah, Memphis playing in their home stadium. And yet Iowa State favored by 7.5. Take the Tigers.
This one makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Sorry, Iowa State fans. It's the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic, number 9, Missouri versus number 7, Ohio State, 8 p.m. And I'm sure Buckeye Nation is just so excited for this game, Mike. So excited.
The grumbling that's going to happen, win or lose, in this game. I mean, how do you coach your team if you're Ryan Day in this game? That's going to be hard. And you've been to the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic, right, Tim?
I will say, I didn't want to admit this. The stadium, Jerry World is an impressive facility.
I know. I love making you admit that because it goes against every fiber in your being. But I like your honesty.
There's not a bad seat in the house. We had last row seats. This is for the Penn State Cotton Bowl versus Memphis the year before COVID hit.
How'd you pull that off? What a score.
It was just, I mean, like, we were in the last row, and like between the field view and the massive video screen, incredible. And like the amenities, whatever. The one downside is it's just plopped in the middle of nowhere between.
Yeah, them. I've been to the old baseball stadium, which is, I was there the last year of the old, quote, old baseball stadium, which I think was 2-3 years ago. It's smack dab between Dallas and Fort Worth and in the middle of nowhere. By the way, Missouri favored by 2.5 in this game. I still say take Missouri. They're going to treat it like a real game. Ohio State will not.
I mean, who's playing quarterback for Ohio State? I have no idea.
Yeah, so, who knows? Maybe, who's playing anything for Ohio State?
Saturday the 30th, we got number 11 Ole Miss versus number 10 Penn State at the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, noon kick at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I will likely be there. Colleen's going to be there. I think.
Is that true? I heard you. You know, saber rattling about going when the matchup was announced. I thought it was all talk. Are you actually going to go?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it'd be like Jack's Christmas gift and Joey's Christmas gift. So we'll go down there and like.
Oh, I hope they're not listening.
They're not. relatively cheap tickets are relatively cheap. I think it'd be fun to hang out with Ole Miss fans for a couple of days. So we'll probably go down there. What are your thoughts on the Ole Miss Penn State game, Mike?
Nits favored by 3.5. I think it's going to be a good game because I think it's going to be two teams that are going to play hard and take it seriously. You know, I think in the back of their minds, both of these teams knew they weren't quite good enough to, you know, challenge the big boys. So for Mississippi to go to the Peach Bowl and beat Penn State would be a huge win. And Franklin's very good at you know, beating a lots of teams other than the very best teams. So I think it's going to be a good game, and I think you guys will enjoy it. I'm curious to hear your thoughts about the Mercedes-Benz Dome. The stadium. I haven't been there yet.
This game to me is fascinating. How about Auburn versus Maryland in the Trans Perfect Music City Bowl in Nashville?
I hesitate to ask what trans perfect.
I was going to say, like, that's a loaded term in the current context. My God.
Yeah, but what a great, when I saw when the bowls were announced, this is a great bowl for an extremely mediocre team that you like to go to. And mediocre, very disappointing season for the Terps. They finished 7-5, but it should have been 9-3, losing to Illinois and losing to Northwestern, inexcusable. I think Tagovailoa is going to play. He is the Big Ten's all-time leading passer in terms of yards. That's impressive. Auburn, 2.5-point favorites. You have no idea what you're going to get with Auburn. They almost beat Alabama. They almost beat Georgia, and yet they got blown out by New Mexico State. As a Terps fan, Saturday, December 30th, 2 p.m. kickoff in Nashville, that is a great time. That is a great slot. I would love to go to that game. I will not be going to it, but I'm going to be watching it. I'm going to be fired up for it.
This game in a different context would have been such a great game. And I feel sad. Yeah. It's going to be a sad spectacle. Number 6, Georgia versus number 5, Florida State in the Capital One Orange Bowl, 4 p.m. kick. And I just don't think either team's going to come here with any kind of juice at all.
Right? There's some chatter. I mean, I don't know where it's coming from. I'm sure it's not real, but there's chatter about Florida State should boycott this bowl.
Yeah.
And, you know, if this were both squads, I'm saying including the Travis injury, let's say Travis is still injured, but this is some kind of playoff game. This would be an awesome, awesome game. But you're right. Most of these bowl games, one team is excited to be there. One team does not want to be there. This is a game where absolutely both teams do not want to be there. Georgia is still a 14-point favorite. Probably because they're B team. So these teams, I'm not sure about Florida State, but Georgia is going to treat this like the first game of their spring season, essentially, right? Yeah. It's going to be a lot of second teamers in there. They're going to be playing hard. Their second teamers are awesome. And so, you know, if you're a Georgia fan, you might be watch that with interest as to, you know, how it's going to be next year. But as a neutral fan, it's going to be a tough one to watch.
Finally, the Barstool Sports Arizona Bowl. Toledo versus Wyoming, 4:30 kick, Mike. A big audience for this game on the CW.
Well, it got picked up by the CW. Last year, it was just streaming on Barstool Sports, but this year, it got picked up by the CW. Wyoming, 2.5-point favorites over Toledo.
And Monday the 1st, here we go. Wisconsin versus number 13 LSU in the ReliaQuest Bowl, Mike, in Tampa.
Is that the old Outback Bowl?
I think so.
Yeah, the Outback Bowl. How did Wisconsin make it into that bowl? They are going to get slaughtered by LSU's backups. That's my prediction. LSU is a 10-point favorite. Lock of the week. Take LSU. I can't. Wisconsin's one of the worst teams in the Big Ten. I can't. Watching them lose some of their games that they played this year, I can't believe they made it to a New Year's Day bowl. I mean, that term doesn't mean anything anymore, but still, we used to love the Outback Bowl, didn't we, Tim? Why did they move the startup from 11 to 12? It was perfect at 11.
Because, what's his name, the former Big Ten commissioner, he wanted to, quote-unquote, own the noon window. He wanted all the Big Ten bowl games played at the same time, which was so dumb.
Was so Jim dumb. Delaney?
Yeah.
Or Kevin Warren?
Yeah. No, Delaney. It was him.
Okay, yeah.
This next one. The Verbo Fiesta Bowl. Number 23, Liberty versus number 8, Oregon. Honestly, I feel bad for Oregon. They deserve better. This committee, if they were following the logic that they put Bama over Florida State, there's no way in hell Liberty should be over SMU. SMU played a tougher schedule. They're a better team. Everything. And for some reason, they put Liberty played the worst schedule in all of FBS.
And that's not you're not saying that as an opinion. That is, they played statistically the worst schedule in all of FBS.
It's embarrassing Liberty's in this bowl game. It's embarrassing.
And we'll talk about a no-win situation for Oregon. I mean, I think I heard Bo Nix is going to play in this game, which surprises me. They're 15.5-point favorites, but yeah, that's a no-win situation.
Awful. This game to me is intriguing. We love and hate Iowa. The Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, number 17 Iowa versus number 21 Tennessee in Orlando. Brian Ferentz's swan song here, Mike.
It is. And Tennessee, 7.5-point favorites. The total, 36.5. Talk about a game that's of contrasting styles, right? Tennessee scores a lot of points, not great on defense. Iowa, we've already talked about them. Again, I would say this is going to be a bowl game where both teams are going to be excited to play in it.
And if you're Brian Ferentz, like, this is your last game. Just throw caution to the wind, right? Do some trick
plays. Yeah. Couldn't agree with you more. Run some flea flickers. Run some trick plays. Just throw Hail Marys. Throw bombs. There's no reason not to. Your dad, I mean, there is one reason your dad might get mad at you, though.
Or just punt on third down. That'd be a great thing. All right, finally, the CFP semifinal at the Rose Bowl, presented by Prudential, number 4 Bama versus number 1 Michigan, 5 p.m. on the 1st, of course, in the Rose Bowl. Mike, I have no idea what to expect here. I am tempted because I get sucked into the narrative and the past and the rest of it. It's like, oh, Bama's going to win the game or whatever. But then I think again, like, this is probably the worst good Bama team that Saban has had. And I think this Michigan team, despite being cheaters and the rest of it, I think they're a really good team. So why am I feeling like Bama?
Same reason I am. They're Bama. Same reason that they're in this whole tournament. That's why the committee put them in there. It's past history. It's narrative. Also, we have not seen Michigan perform well in the college football playoff in the last 2 years. Now, is that fair? Who knows? I mean, that's a fair statement for sure, because that's a fact. But is that fair to this year's team? Who knows? But we're going on past history, and that's why I'm taking Bama as well. But also, what a great uniform matchup that's going to be at 5 p.m. on the Rose Bowl on January 1st.
And again, I
by the way, in the 12-team playoff, are we losing the Rose Bowl on January 1st?
God knows what happens next year. I have no idea.
That's going to be a real shame if we do.
And again, I have no affection necessarily for Alabama or their fans. And like, I have nothing against them either. But I do think it's very cool for that fan base who's just so ingrained in the sport to be going out there for a 5 p.m. kick at that amazing stadium with that backdrop of the Roy Seiko, for them to see that and experience that, like, probably, like, because they're SEC people, they'll be like, oh, the Rose Bowl's overrated. They'll see it, and they'll be like, this is incredible. Incredible. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I cannot wait to watch that game.
And if again, this game to me is fascinating. The CFP semifinal at the All-State Sugar Bowl, number 3 Texas versus number 2 Washington, 8:45 kick. What a game, Mike. Going back to like what week 1 or 2 when Texas beat Bama, like Texas looked so good. They did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Sark has, both personally for himself, what he's done for his, like, his own personal well-being and how he's transformed himself as a coach. I love that Texas team, but Penix is incredible. And your point about he throws a deep ball so well. This game to me, what's the line here again, Mike?
Texas favored by 4.5.
That's such a big number to me. I just don't know.
I agree. I'm taking Washington, but it's going to be just an awesome day of football on January 1st. And even though people have to work on January 2nd, I'm not one of them. I'll be taking off. I love that it's on January 1st.
Yeah. So again, we complained at the start of the podcast, but it's going to be.
It's funny how after an hour and 10, 11 minutes of podcasting, and for me, a glass of rye whiskey, your outlook really changes.
Indeed. All right, Mike. So it's been like more than an hour now. It's a long podcast. So I guess we'll probably regroup after the bowl games are all over.
Let's get together and do one more after the bowl games are all over. We'll preview the championship game, and that'll be fun.
100%. Okay, everyone, thanks again for listening. And there's one thing. Oh, by the way, Mike, controversial. For all some reason, the word pachas came up in some family conversation. I don't know where it came from. So, like, we live in the age of AI, okay? So I asked I wanted to be comfortable in the knowledge that the way that we are pronouncing pachas and the meaning is correct. Okay.
I've been saying it for years on this podcast. What if it's some kind of like ethnic slur against some Slovenian minority group that I don't even never have heard of?
So I of course turned to ChatGPT and I was like, hey, because I was always told like pachas, like literal translation, it means like go slow, which means like relax, like go slow. Okay. So I was like, hey, ChatGPT, like what's the Slovenian to English translation of go slow? And it responded as pochas, but it put an E on the end, or a long E. Okay. It's like, oh, how do you pronounce that? And it said pachasi. And I texted my parents. I was like, this is like really upsetting. It says it's pachasi, not just pachas. Right.
Hmm. So that is upsetting.
My dad responds the next day. And he's like, look, he's like, my father lived among Slovenians in the largest Slovenian enclave in the world outside of Slovenia.
The largest Slovenian enclave in the world.
Which is sounds true. Like there's more Slovenians in Cleveland than there are anywhere in the world outside of Slovenia. It's a true fact.
Yeah, I believe that.
And apparently, like, I think he said that there was the Polish add the E on the end, but the Slovenians don't. And he's like, my father knows more about the Slovenian language than any generative AI. And I'm like, I trust you, Dad. So I think it is pachas. So we're safe there, Mike. You feel good about that?
I guess. I mean, I never even looked into it. I've been saying it for 10 years. I was relying on you.
But again, you can call my dad if you want reassurances. And I trust him with his dad's, you know, backing on things. So
I'll text him.
All right. Everyone, enjoy the bowl games. Enjoy the holidays. Enjoy the new year. And Mike, there's one thing to say. Don't say it, pachas.
The Thank you for listening to the TCFA podcast. For more college football news and wit, visit IntelligentCollegeFootball.com.